Episode 57 with Kyle Trainer. This is part two of two on the episode where we talk about the psychology of money, taking self-responsibility, and unconditional patience. For a recap, again, if you missed part one, that was episode 56. Just go back a week, listen to that. It's about an hour or so. And that's kind of where we start the conversation, and we continue that on today. So in this episode, this full episode, we sit down with Kyle, who is a personal trainer turned business mentor. Kyle has taken his extensive understanding of business specific to the personal training space, has created a sought after mentorship for coaches and trainers, and he's based out of Melbourne, Australia. Steel in the Walls is his newest course, and we talk a lot about that specific to the very beginning, but we also start to touch on it in this episode today, where he takes coaches and trainers through an extensive three-week course on understanding the importance of cash flow, intelligence, and setting up a good defensive strategy for your business. The other main topics we dive into in this comprehensive episode is the importance of taking self-responsibility for your actions and practicing unconditional patience, a cornerstone of building resilience and living a fulfilling life. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, I would really, really appreciate for you to support the podcast. You can head over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast these days and leave us a 5-star review. This does help the podcast out quite a bit, so I do appreciate anyone and everyone who has done so. If you can, tell a friend about the podcast. And if you're here from Instagram, what's up? Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you hopping over platforms and taking a listen. Be sure to tag me if you share the episode at Austin Current, and be sure to tag our guest at Kyle R. Trainer. That's Trainer, T-R-A-Y-N-O-R. Enjoy the conversation.
You will surrender your happiness to future times continuously unless you have a story that you tell yourself. Because story is our sense-making device. Like, this is, and the beauty of it is you can write your own story. You can write this story and it can be yours, but you don't, you know, you will never have that true connection with that story unless it's a true representation of your belief system and your value system. And the only way to do that is to experience more time of just you, you know? And again, everything in life is taking that away from us, right? Our computers, our phones, the world is doing everything it can to take the present moment away from you. So you need to protect it. And that's what, honestly, meditation is the practice of that, right? It's like the martial arts of your mind, right? And that's what it is. It's this protection mechanism that teaches you how to protect your mind, you know, daily, you know. And that's, you know, every day I'm doing my meditation, but in my head I'm thinking about protecting my mind from these things that are capturing like the present moment and taking it away from me.
Yeah, and one of the biggest thieves of the present moment, I think, is an expectation. And I think to expand, go, you know, one level deeper, I think we live and we allow or sacrifice these moments, or we sacrifice the present moment, as you were saying, for the future, is because we're working off whatever story we're telling ourselves, but we're working off of an expectation that someone else might have of us, of what we're going to become, how quickly we may get this project done, how successful that project ends up being, whatever, you know. And I think one of the, again, most powerful things you can do is to further along your point is try your best to set yourself up to where those things are limited, where you have control over those things as much as you can. Obviously, we're all in a different situation. And one of the biggest things that grounds me in mine is the absolute privilege I have to even have a fucking choice in the matter.
Yeah.
Like, I get to choose how I spend my time. Boom. I'm already in the 0.01% of the world's population.
There is over 2 million people that would kill to have what we have right now. Like, they would give everything to have the life that, you know, we have. And you're right. It's like that right there is the most liberating thing in the world, right? And it's like nobody can argue. You know, like if you try to argue against that, like, again, you've just got to check yourself. Like, and it's like all of us, man. Like, there's people in the world right now that, I mean, I'm the luckiest man in the world. I really am. Like, I've got a beautiful house. I've got, you know, I live in a beautiful country. I got a beautiful partner. I mean, I just get to, as you said, we get to choose what we do with our time. And I'm just like, holy fuck, man. Like, how can I not reach my potential? Like, I'm doing this world an injustice. I'm doing the people around me an injustice if I leave anything on the table. Right. And anything on the table doesn't mean being a workaholic. It means like every day I choose not to meditate, every time I choose to not be the greatest person I can, I'm doing this world an injustice. I just think about, like, you know, some of the people that probably aren't in the position I am. And like, it's just, it's like, wow. As you said, it's like I just need to think about that, and I'm already like, okay, like, stop telling you, like, get out of that in my headspace, like, stop, you know, just stop. You are in this position, and, you know, leaving anything on the table is an injustice.
Yeah, and there's even, it's, and then going to each moment, you know, you have that choice to react how you react. You have that choice, you know, in this moment, am I going to be impatient? You know, if I wanted my partner to hand me that spoon over there on the counter, and I said, hey, can you hand me that spoon? She doesn't hand me the spoon. I can get pissed. Why would I get pissed? Maybe she didn't hear me. Maybe she was distracted by something because there was something on the wall. I don't know.
Maybe she had a bad day.
Maybe shit. Yeah. Maybe, why do I need to be pissed about that? And it's like, we all fucking do that so often. And it's like, we have that decision, and it may not seem that big, that one decision is that big of a deal, but it truly is, because it directly leads into the next. And if I choose to be impatient in this moment, then it's just as easy to slip into that, into the next moment, and then to stay that way the entire evening. And then now our evening is this weird tension between us that, you know, maybe we don't act as compassionate towards one another. Maybe we don't sit on the couch as close to one another. Maybe we don't have that connection that we should have. And then the next morning's weird. And then the whole next day is like, turns into an argument. And it's just, you know, like, there's downstream effects of you even making that one decision instead of calmly breathing through that moment. And everyone's different how they need to work through that. And for me, I know it's breathing through. Like, if I say, I hate repeating myself. I don't know what it, I think it's growing up. If I had to repeat myself to my parents or something, and I felt like I just hated it. I've like some sort of internal mechanism in my mind that just, I hate to repeat myself. And that's a big part of, you know, if my wife doesn't hear me, or if I'm in another room and I try to say something or whatever the moment is, right? I have to do everything in me to breathe through that moment. I'm already a very patient person, but I have to breathe through that moment, sometimes deeper than others, to just calmly and patiently say again. And I'm not perfect in that by any stretch, but the downstream effects that has is insane.
Oh man, it's everything, right? Like it shapes the world, you know, like,
yeah,
as I said,
it shapes everyone's interactions. Yeah.
Some of the most powerful, some of the most deadly people in the world were once 3-year-old kids. Like it's the most crazy thing to think about. It's like, fuck man. Like, you know, you, when you, you, and the reason that, you know, Sam Harris said that, and I was like, fuck. But that is what living an examined life is about. It's looking at and not making that judgment, right? And it's because it's like that's what it's about, right? It's like even if something goes against your morals, right? It's like it's understanding why people make that decision, right? And then putting this and trying to understand that, because that's the problem that we all face, is that. That's the dichotomy between self-actualization and being a great person, right? It's the tightrope that everyone walks, you know, like, cause again, it's so hard to know that you're walking a tightrope, and one side is self-actualization. One side of the river is self-actualization. The other side of the river is being a great person. And the tightrope represents that middle ground. That is like the perfect journey, right? Or it's probably not the right wording, but it's like, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, you know, if I fall one too far to the self-actualization, I could get lost. Yeah. Like I can get caught up in my own journey, and then that can mean me pushing my agenda and sacrificing other people at the cost of that, or at the hand of that. And then the other side is being a great person and playing the status game and only being a great person because of what other people are going to think of you. And, you know, that tightrope is such a hard thing to walk. And I think that is the journey. That is mastery. That is the self-examined life. And, you know, when you actually think about it, right, and it's like, this is something that I struggle with. It's like, you know, and I keep referring back to Sam, but, you know, he's someone that I just like fucking... He's the words he used, but even some of the meditations he makes you do, you know, like he makes you bring people that you love to mind and wish them happiness, and then he makes you bring someone that you despise and wish them happiness, and it's like that is like the first time you do it, it's extremely hard to do, but you know you got to think about it, right? It's like judgment. That is like trying to capture judgment and understand it. That is your ability to look to grasp the people you're judging based on your belief system, because you think that is right, and untangling that and unpacking that and understanding that, and that is truly what living that examined life is about. You know, anybody can, you know, when you've got someone in front of you who has done something wrong, right? What do you see? Do you try to punish them? Do you point the finger at them, or do you try to understand them? And for me, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we continuously make judgment it's very easy for us to, if something goes against what our, you know, if something takes away from our own self-actualization and our own potentialities, we're very easy to judge and be like, they were wrong. They were this, you know, that person's a bad person. And it's like, yeah, like the judgment you're making on them is no different to the judgment they have just made on you, right? Like to point the finger doesn't make the world a better place, right? It doesn't, like, that judgment is the, it's no, there's no difference. Like whatever that person did is based on their belief system, right? And the better you can do to understand it, the better chance you've got of changing it and helping them, you know, and having a conversation that maybe makes both of you better, right? And it's that is the hardest thing. Like that is the thing now that I struggle the most with, right? Like, but I really try. It's like when something, you know, like when something happens and it's not, you know, and naturally you're like, fuck that guy. Like, you know, like you're just like, you know, fuck, like, and it goes so against your own belief system that you're like, it angers you and it frustrates you. Can you in that moment be mindful, break that spell? And, you know, you don't have to talk to them. You don't have to do that. But just try to understand maybe why they are doing that. Maybe why have they have made that decision. And that is something that I try tremendously with. And even with people that, you know, I don't have a great relationship with, or maybe we've had an argument, or, you know, there's things like that. It's like, that is one of the hardest things in the world to do. But I think that is the greatest task of humanity. You know, that's the greatest task humanity has in front of it in many different situations.
I think understanding is the foreground, or the middle ground between, you know, obviously pretty much any conflict you have. To expand on the understanding part of it, you know, two individuals sitting here right now that, you know, a goal of ours is to teach and to educate and to share the knowledge that we've been able to accumulate and make sense of and share it with those around us and those who need it. So one of the biggest parts of teaching and educating stems from understanding and being empathetic towards someone else's beliefs and understandings of the world they're living in or the world that they're operating within. And I think, you know, we see this, I'm sure you see it within the business world, you see it within people's businesses, certain beliefs they have around, you know, talking to the points that we kind of made in the start, talking about the steel in the walls, is like beliefs they currently have around cash flow and problems in their business versus the beliefs they have around marketing, because that's what they've been sold. And, you know, we're having to, I'm sure you have to do some work on some people to sort of peel back those layers of the onion and unravel some of those things and replace those layers with new layers, with new beliefs and new, but it doesn't start with, you can't do your part successfully unless you take the time to listen and you take the time to ask better questions to these individuals to peel back those layers, because you're never truly going to get the answer you're seeking or the place you need to get to truly educate or teach someone is in the middle of that onion. And if you don't take the time to peel back those layers, it's just going to whiz by. It's just going to go right through, you know, in one ear and out the other. And I think that's obviously one of the biggest problems, you know, I face is a coach and dealing with clients and trying to educate other people as much as I can on the ins and outs of what they're trying to accomplish. And whether that's nutritional beliefs, training beliefs, concepts, the ways of understanding what they're trying to get done, or trends. You know, we see this with trends in the industry, is like nutritional trends are probably the biggest ones we see, but the training trends as well, like the difference in, you know, let's slap like body weight versus CrossFit modality or F4-5 or Orange Theory or, you know, periodized strength training. It's like, if you see all those things as completely separate, one, you need to reevaluate how you're seeing things, but two, you come across, let's say, you know, you come across someone who is absolutely a fanatic of like Orange Theory or F4-5, which I know your people are probably a little bit more familiar with. And so if I go into that discussion, because if I'm team like strength training, we got to periodize shit. We got to, you know, progress volume and intensity. We got to manipulate different parameters. We have to understand your ability to create tension and proper execution and all of these things, right? But if I go in to the discussion or a debate of any kind or a conversation, more or less, and I think it's more of the conversation with someone that is a huge fanatic of F4-5 or Orange Theory, the goal is to get them to exercise. The goal is to get them to improve their life, their health, their mindset, their mental health, and their overall well-being. And so what are we first is to understand the reason that they're doing it to begin with. And then you have to understand the reason why they enjoy it so much that they're willing to defend it toward you.
Yeah. And we also got to ask ourselves is, why am I having this conversation? Like, am I having this conversation for my own right. self-actualization, exactly. And my own journey, right. and to make myself feel better by beating someone, or am I truly trying to make the world a better place? And I think that dictates how you attack the conversation. It's like, I mean, you know, and it's, this is where I get a bit, you know, I'm not in that. I don't, it's not how I do things, man. Like, you'll never see me debating and kind of going hard and making personal attacks and just doing any of that stuff. Like, it's just not me. But, you know, there are times where, you know, you're in these kind of conversations, but you got to just ask yourself, and this is the thing, is like, you got to really, really question yourself, is that, why am I actually doing this? Like, am I actually trying to make the world a better place? Am I trying to make the industry a better place? Or am I just doing this to feed my own ego a little bit and to feed the monster? And like, that is, again, is this, it's a battle that you'll have. It's a tightrope, man. You know, like, you can be feeding the ego and trying to make the world a better place in one conversation, with different kind of, you know, 1 minute you're like trying to, you know, you are trying to make the world a better place. And then all of a sudden the ego comes in and it's like, you know, it's just like, all of a sudden you're just tearing this person to shreds. And it's like, you know, that's, and then again, it's not the fact that you've torn that person to shreds. It's the fact that, you know, you want to be aware that you have, like, we're all going to make mistakes, man. Like, it's not my, you know, it's like to think that you can abolish the ego. It's like, it's just, that's a joke, right? It's like, it's always there for all of us. It's the awareness around it that allows us to harness it or at least not harness it, but stop it from just taking over autonomously. Right. And I think, That is the goal for me anyway, when I'm having a conversation with someone, and especially in the heated ones, like, you know, when it is a question, when somebody's questioning my belief system or I'm questioning someone else's, if I'm questioning someone else's, but it's, or they feel that way. Well, what am I actually doing this for? Like, can I stop myself in the moment from saying the little thing, right? Like that. Like, and you notice it, man. Like, you can have a conversation with someone and you just notice the little things. You know, like, maybe they interrupt someone, or, you know, maybe you can just see what's going to come out of their mouth before they say it, and you're like, don't say it, and they say it, right? But it's like, and even with yourself, right? It's like, you know, you I'm having this conversation with a guy. So there's a guy I do just some mentoring. I do like little things like that on the side, just with, like, he's actually a financial advisor from Sydney. He owns a pretty big company. And we just talk like me and you are now, right? And he kind of was, you know, he's gone through this journey where, you know, he's probably been, like, you know, on a spiritual journey now properly for like 7-8 months. And he brought to the table a conversation. He said, I was sitting at a table with my friends. Like, you know, my boy, like, it was a boy, you know, it's like 10 guys, and he's older. And he said, like, he mentioned it in, it's funny, cause like he started meditating, right? He's been meditating for maybe 6 months, and he's starting to really, you know, get into it and reap the benefits from it. And then he's had a friend who's been doing it for like years, right? And they're at the table, and he goes like, you know, he's wanting to just vomit his experiences on this guy, you know, like, he's just wanting to be like, oh, I've done this, I've done that, you know, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And he goes like, you know, I was doing it. And then afterwards I'm like, well, why did I need to do that? Like, why did I need to tell him what I've experienced? And why couldn't I stop myself from actually doing that? And that's what we're talking about. It's like, you know, in the moment, it's like, there's a song, I think me and you, it might be me and you, Depth Over Distance.
Yeah, so I referenced, we had talked about it. I when I was first on the podcast with Shallows, I brought it up at the end of our, close to the end of our episode, and he was like, "Fuck, man, I haven't listened to that in a long time," and it's just like, it's one of my all time like benchmark songs. And
I think, yeah, you messaged me because I put it on my story or something.
Yeah. So I think he had shared it and. On his, because, and then he tagged me that he would, like, he was just listening to it, and I guess he thought of it at the moment when he was listening to it. I guess I came to mind because it's like I brought it up, and, you know, I don't know how it'll happen. And then you it was on your story, and I'm like, fuck, dude, yes, because it's like that song deserves to be out there. And it, not only Ben Howard is an artist, and I love the, what his music's, you know, stands for. But man, that song more than anything needs to really grace the presence of everyone's audio experience, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a quote in it that I absolutely love, and it's hard to listen while you preach. And it's that I'm talking about. Like, it's like, you know, you can't really listen when you're pushing that agenda, like, you know, and that's the thing. That's like the biggest challenge, I think, is like when, you know, that's what this guy was talking about, right? It's like, you know, he's sitting at the table and all he's thinking about is telling this person about his experience and what he's done and he's preaching. And it's like, you know, in life, it is extremely hard for you to listen while you're preaching. If you're always, you know, and this is a survival thing. This is like a, you know, when we bottle up emotions, right, and when we don't deal with things that we should deal with, and we don't deal with our experiences and the things that we have the trauma that we have and the emotions that we, you know, when we don't experience them, we just brush them to the side. They build up internally, and then a lot of the time, the only way to actually release the gasket is to project it onto somebody else. Right. And you will meet people, right? And you know, I'm sure I've been in that position many times as well, where they're just projecting everything out. You know, it's like, you know, they're just continuously, but like either bad mouthing people or maybe you're continuously just telling someone about your problems in your life and all these things. And it's like, you know, that is the bottom line, right? It's hard to listen while you preach. And this is, again, coming back to the mindfulness, the meditation, the doing the work on yourself. It's like, you know, to be the best version of yourself, to be the greatest person that you possibly can be, you need to deal with your shit. Cause otherwise you're going to preach it. You're always going to be preaching. You're always going to be talking. You're always going to be pushing your agenda, or, you know, with absolutely no awareness around it, right? And it's like, you know, you have to be a good listener to help people, right? Like what you said, to teach and educate, you have to listen, right? Like, you know, everybody is so dynamic. And again, in business, this is, we often, you know, like, there is no formula in business, because guess what? I can guarantee you, as a small business owner, you are always the limiting factor. Like, that is 101. This is dynamic, man. There is no formula. There is no system. There is none of that shit as a small business owner, right? Because you are always the limiting factor. And that means that unless you're doing the work on yourself, you'll never get to where you want to go. You'll never be able to experience the journey you want to experience, right? You'll never be able to find peace in that journey, because at the end of the day, right, it's like, especially as a small business owner, you are always the limiting factor. It is always, you know, and if you're not dealing with your shit in the background, if you're not, you know, like I was saying before, experiencing what you need to experience, you're going to be preaching. You're going to just be pushing your agenda on everybody, and you just become a monster, right? And that's not even just business. That's everything, right? Like, you will become a monster, and you will be aware of that monster, and you'll never be able to stop that monster. You'll just become this, you know, this person that continuously burns people and puts them down and makes people feel bad about themselves just so you can continue through feeling okay. And it's like, it is a monster. It is a, you know, the ego is an absolute monster, man. And it's like, it just happens, and it's autonomous, and it's like, I, you know, like, man, it will happen, right? It will continuously happen. And it was me, man. Like, I was that person for like years. Right? And I look back now, and I was like, you know, the only, like, I had to do that to make myself feel okay. But the problem was, it's not about feeling okay, right? I was missing the point for so long, where I was like, instead of just trying to feel okay all the time and continuously feel good, I need to take my perception and actually understand that and I needed to, was that I need to feel bad. Like I need to feel shit. I need to fucking experience that stuff, man. Like otherwise I'm never going to learn those lessons. It's like this is where when you start to shift from external consciousness to internal consciousness, you pick up things. You know, you actually understand what these feelings are inside of you. You don't have that autonomous reaction anymore. It doesn't just happen. It's like, I'm feeling this now. I'm feeling that emotion, that energy run through my body, and all of a sudden I can sit with it and I can experience it and I can understand it. And then when I understand it, I can then, okay, well, why am I feeling this way? And how do I need to react here? Like, what is the best way for me to make sure that I'm helping myself and helping somebody else in this moment? And then I experience that, and I'm not scared to experience that. I'm not trying to run away from that. I'm just sitting with it and dealing with the consequences of it. And when I deal with that consequence, when I take responsibility for it, right, that's when I can start to change it. That's when I can start to adjust it and make those changes. And really that is an answer to a lot of problems, right? Like that is the answer to so many problems that we all face every single day as a society, as individuals, as families. Like just think about the family fights that happen at Christmas and stuff like that, right? Like imagine being a fly on the wall and you could just see it. You can just see the little comments, the little like, it's just like, that's what when you do live and examine life can actually bring. It's like, no longer are you trying to talk over people. You're actually trying to listen. You're trying to see the dynamic of the room and how it plays out. Like when I'm sitting in a room with extremely successful people, I'm the one, I ask questions, but I'm not asking a lot. I'm asking the right ones and I'm listening. I'm looking. I'm paying attention to how these people carry themselves. I'm paying attention to their mannerisms, right? I'm not just trying to push my agenda on them, right? I'm quiet. I'm paying attention to their movements. I'm paying attention to everything. And there's a lesson from that. That is like me just analyzing. But imagine you did that in every conversation. Imagine you had that conversation and you had the progress and the progress of mankind, right? The progress of society in your head at every point with every conversation. And you just tried to get the best outcome from analyzing, and it's like, instead of me just pushing my own agenda, self-actualizing and making that this is all that matters in life and nobody else's journey matters. Like imagine, and that's what it is. That's the tightrope everybody walks. It's like, am I willing to burn and churn and sacrifice others at the expense of mine, of me feeling great and feeling fulfilled on a daily basis?
Yeah, I agree, man. I think living a life to listen, I think has been a lot more rewarding of an experience than living a life to try and lead every conversation that you're in, and try and lead or be the leader of every room you're in, or to be the loudest person in a room, or to feel the necessity of any of that, and like, I didn't have a response for your statement because I was so in tune and in depth. Like all I wanted to do is listen to every word you were trying to say and just make connections in my mind. And yeah, I have no response because it's just like, I wasn't listening to respond. I was just listening to experience. And, I think a lot of times there's some type of nervousness that comes off that you're going to be seen as dumb or slow or kind of not with the conversation, or you're less than because you don't maybe have an answer. Maybe you don't have another question lined up, or maybe you don't have another thing to say or to add. But man, I think that a lot of times can be powerful, because it allowed you the sense that you got to listen to that person speak.
It's I don't know if you've listened, but Naval Ravikant has a he's like an investor, but he's got this podcast, man, and it's like, it's crazy, like value for per minute. It's just wild. Like, but he says, like, and this is, I kind of got this from him, but he says, like, you know, status is a zero sum game. Nobody, society and nobody progresses from playing a game of status. Like, there is no beneficiary, right? And it's that, right? Like, think about it. The need to be right, or the need to have a say, or the need to not be wrong is a game of status. And it's a game that causes society the most problems, right? And it's like, it happens in every moment. Like, you know, for me to feel good about myself, maybe I have to have that say, right? Like, or why do I have to have that say? That's the better question, is like, why do I feel the need to? Why am I playing this game of status when it doesn't benefit anyone? It winds me up to believe I'm something I'm not. It's chasing the opinions of other people, and it's living someone else's truth. And it only ends up in a disaster for everybody. You know, me having to have the last say makes someone else feel lesser. Me not letting someone have their moment because I want to have mine. Me putting someone down because maybe I feel threatened. The list goes on. Me calling someone out on Instagram because, you know, they might be making some headway, or like all of these things are simply status games. And it's a zero sum game because it doesn't take society forward at all, ever. You can't tell me a situation where somebody having status makes the world a better place.
Well, shit. You look at US politics currently and you'll get the answer to that fucking question.
Fuck yeah. Like, but that's politics in general, man. Like, you know, US politics.
But I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like US, no, but like, so US politics is the one that's, they got the most air, right? That's why it's there. But man, like, you come to Australia and it's the same problem. Like, nobody's had a fucking good leader in like 20 years. In like 10 years, right? Like, it's like, sorry, 10 years. Like, every country is different, but it's a status game now, man. Everybody starts playing the status game. Like, they're so, like, you know, imagine a world where we didn't play status. Like it's crazy to think. And it's like, that's the lesson that everybody can learn, is that, you know, what game are you playing, right? And status, you know, it's just a zero-sum game, man. Like, there is no beneficiary. There is no progress. There is no better situation from it, you know, in any moment. And that's the thing. It's like, that's why living an examined life allows you to pick up on that. Whereas previously, it's autonomous, right? Without that, it's something that just happens, man. Like, it's like, you know, most people that are doing this wouldn't actually understand that they're doing it, or why they're doing it, or how they're doing it. But they just walk away from every conversation or every situation feeling okay. And it's that need to feel okay. It's like, why do we always need to feel like we're okay? Why do we always need to feel like we've got it under control? Why do we always need to be the educator? Why do we always need to be that person? Like, why, you know, can we be okay with not being that person? As I said, the status game, man, it's like, the more I understand it, the more I despise social media. And it's like, it's hard because it's a great tool in business, man. And like, again, it's about getting that balance right. And I don't post unless I got that balance right. Like, I haven't put up a post this week because I'm worried I'm not going to have that balance right. Like, I don't need to, you know, I don't feel the need to do it. Like, I don't want to sacrifice and change my internal world because I feel the need to be relevant. And I mean, it's just the way I think. Like, I don't, and it's not that there's anything wrong with that. Like, a lot of people have it under control. a lot of people have that great relationship with it, where they understand it as a tool. And I'm all for that. And cause it's a great tool when it's used properly. But for me, you know, I still battle with it, man. Like, and I'm happy to admit it. Right. And if I am battling with it, and unless I get it right and I understand how I can make the world a better place by using it and not just then have this personal need to feel relevant, because it just feeds that very concept that we're talking about, the status game. And it's a game that ruins the world. it's fucking ruining the world, right? And in every single, you know, way. And I don't want business to feed into that, my business to feed into that. I don't want anything I do to feed into that. And I'm not willing to sacrifice it for anyone, right? Like, or anything, or any type of status, or any type of win, you know, in business. It's like, oh, I want to do it the right way. And the right way is an internal way to me. It's not anyone else's right way. It's my right way. And, you know, again, it's meditation is my martial arts of protecting that with my life. You know, it's like, nobody's going to take that. That is my bandwidth, because if somebody takes that, or if something takes that, the people around me suffer. And that's just not something I'm willing to compromise on at all. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I mean, as I said, stand on the shoulders of people that have taught me this stuff. Like, you know, like, I'm a massive Sam Harris fan. I think that some of his stuff, like, you know, there's 50% of his stuff that I'm a massive fan of, 50% I'm not. But I think when he, you know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, there's some stuff that I just love that he brings to the table. And then there's some other guys as well that, you know, being able to learn from them, and it's liberating. But it's, you know, it just seems to come back to that. You know, there's a few little concepts there, where big self-awareness and emotional intelligence and those, you know, mindfulness, these are some things that are just so pivotal to being the best person you can. And and then obviously the status thing is huge. Like, I think that we've got a big problem with that in society at the moment, and it's hard because, you know, again, we're walking that tightrope of being a great person and self-actualization. And a lot of the time we can get caught up in playing that status game, the self-actualization game, when I don't think we necessarily need to.
Yeah. I mean, it's a powerful statement. And I think living, just kind of round out everything, I think one of the most helpful things that I've implemented over the last few years of my life is, with each passing day, I feel like I live more and more of the examined life. I live more and more of examining every situation that I possibly can throughout my day, week, month. And, you know, at the end of each conversation, like at the end of this one, I'm going to examine, you know, what happened, what I say, how did I say certain things? How did I present myself? You know, was there a moment that I interrupted you that I shouldn't have? That stemmed from a place that I felt some need to get something out that didn't necessarily need to come out? Or, you know, how much time did I spend speaking about myself when it wasn't progressive towards the conversation we were trying to have? And that's something that, you know, again, like, it may seem, this kind of, again, it bleeds into, it sews right in. So what we've been talking about the entire effect, time, right? It's the compound effect. And it's how you do, you know, how you do one thing's how you do everything. I believe that to be true. And to understand that our entire life, every single thing that we accomplish is the culmination, is the addition, is the compound of everything we fucking experienced throughout that entire time. And so to sit here and think, you know, if you're on the other end of this conversation and you're like, man, these guys just make life way more difficult than it seems like it has to be. And man, it just, why make it harder, or why sit and think about every little thing all the time? And there's a difference in thinking through things too much. You know, there are diseases like an obsessive compulsive disorder. That's a true disease. And that's something that we're not discussing. That's not we're not discussing, you know, I have to think about these things or else I have so much anxiety that I feel like my family's all going to die. You know, that's something else. And if you feel that way in any way, like, please see someone trained as, you know, trained to deal with that, like see a professional and have a conversation with a professional. But to live the examined life and to see each moment as an opportunity to grow and to evaluate what was just said or what was just done or how you just presented yourself is, yeah, like we've been saying the whole time, it's this concept of, well, if you want to reach your potential, it has nothing to do with these big rocks that you feel like you need to move periodically throughout your life. It's every moment. It's those pebbles that you're raking in your Zen garden, in that Zen garden that is your life, right? It's the pebbles that you're moving each and every day that add up to this garden of, or this sea of rocks. It's those little moments that add up and those little changes that you make that then have that compound effect to keep going. You keep going.
Imagine a world where self-actualization was created or was experienced by helping others self-actualize, like in every moment. Imagine everyone in the world was reaching their potential by helping others reach theirs.
Imagine.
And it's, you know, man, that's the goal. And the goal is the journey. So it's the, you know, we should be working to do that. And you know, everybody plays their role. Like, you know, that's why living an examined life is, it's about making society a better place and just doing your bit. Simple. Like, you know, that's how I want to be remembered. You know, when Ben Pekulski made me do he gave me this thing called like writing your legacy. And it's like you're writing your eulogy. And powerful because it just makes you think about this stuff. Like it makes you put it into perspective. It's like, what are people going to say at your funeral? And like, that's a powerful thing to think about, man. Like that's honestly like something that I hold with me. And when I think about this stuff is like, what are people going to say about me at my funeral? What are my colleagues going to say? What's my family going to say? What's my kids going to say? What's my partner going to say? What's my dad going to say if he was there? You know, like, we don't know. Like what is everyone around me going to say at my funeral? And again, this is not the thing to say you're overdoing it. You shouldn't be thinking about these things. It's just, it gives me perspective. It gives me meaning. It changes the way I act in the present moment. And it allows me to try just become a better person for society, right? Doing my bit, self-actualizing, reaching my potential by helping others reach theirs. You know, it's like, that's what the goal is for me, because that's what else do I have? What do I leave behind? That's it, man. Like that's all.
Yeah. And I think, yeah. And your impact has to do with, again, impacting those immediately around you at any point you have an opportunity to do. And we're in such an awesome position to have these digital mediums where we can impact everyone that's currently listening to this and everyone that may have a conversation with anyone who listens to this, and so on and so forth. And that ripple effect is one of the coolest things to think about. And I think we get caught up in understanding that legacy to be things that fall into the categories of generational wealth or status, right? And the legacy, what are people going to say at your funeral? They're not going to be those people. The people that are at your funeral, one, are not going to be the people who are mentioning your status or generational wealth. The people at your funeral are going to be the people who remember you as, what a beautiful person, what a patient person, what a hard worker, but he didn't seem to overwork himself, but yet he accomplished so much. And it's just like, what do you want people to say? And it's not even, I don't even know if I think as much about, you know, obviously we think about what people are going to say, but, or what we want people to say, but I think it's more important to not think about what we want people to say as much as what are people going to say, because it's not that people are going to say what we wish them to say, because hopefully that could influence your actions. But at the end of the day, it's all about how you come off. It's all about how you're perceived by others. And that has little to do with your wishes. So you better figure that shit out, and you better start acting accordingly to understand, or for those people to say what they're going to say, not what you wish them to say.
Yeah, 100%. And it's, you know, I read something the other day and it said, history tells us that humans aren't great at listening to history or reacting.
Yeah, yeah, I saw your post. I agree with that.
But
yeah,
it makes me think, right? It makes me
thought about that, yeah.
How it contextualizes to what we're talking about now. And, you know, who are the people that I look up to in the world that have lived beyond, you know, previous years, you know, like the Muhammad Ali's, these kind of people that, you know, when you're playing the status game, like, you know, do you think Muhammad Ali was like thinking about that when he did what he did, and when he did all of that? It's like he you know, history tells us that it's not the status game that these guys are playing, like Gandhi and, like, you know, these guys that you know we read books about, and the end girls, you know, like the people that we read books about, right? It's like, just look at history, man. Like, you know, like, it's like you can look at history and see who people look up to. Do you know what I mean? And you can learn a lot of lessons from that. And that was something that, you know, that when I read that, I was like, wow, like, damn. But even just in context of what we're talking about now, right? So really cool.
I think it's a good place to round it out, to cap it off. I do want you to, you know, for those who are still listening and stuck around, thank you. And I wanted you to really go, just tell people a little bit about the Steel in the Walls, and know that, you know, those listening, I may be joining your asses in there. So get connected with Kyle and his company and what they're doing, but chat a little bit about it a little bit more and where people find that and where they can join myself in there.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Steel in the Walls is basically, it's the defensive principles of business. So it's something that's going to create a foundation for you to create and make better decisions. And it does really play on the fact is that, you know, bad decisions cost you time and money, and good decisions save you time and money. But really what we're trying to do is better your judgment so that you can reach your potential as a coach and as a business owner. So it's a 3-week course that covers, we run 6 lectures, 3 modules, which is branding, intelligence, and cash flow. And we teach you them all individually, and then we show you how to integrate them, and you know, it's application based as well. So we go through a lot of case studies, and we teach you how to actually use all 3 of these pillars to make better decisions. And it's just a foundation that should be in the hands of every single business owner on the planet. And we're kind of doing it for the health and fitness industry. So, it really is something that, we're super passionate about, and it's just something that is going to put you in good stead, and it's going to allow you to create long-term sustainable success. And, you know, I often say, like, one thing I ask in the course is, who here actually wants to sell their business in 5 years? Nobody puts their hand up. Why? Because we're, you know, like, in the fitness industry, man, like, none of us, like, come into the industry wanting to be the Wolf of Wall Street. Like, it's just, it's really not that way. We truly love what we do. And in order to actually do what we do, and do what we love to the best of our abilities and reach our potential, doing that and, you know, making the impact we want to make, we truly have to be able to sustain that and sustain success for a long time. And that's what this does. This creates a foundation for decision making that gives you success long term. And judgment is that. It improves your judgment dramatically over time, and it's the compound effect with judgment. So it's a course that, it's like, you know, it's $50. Like, you know, it's crazy value. We're truly just doing this to get it in the hands of as many people as we can. So
is it $50 like, AUD?
Yeah, AUD. So even
So those listening in the US, that's like $35 US. So yeah.
It's just you don't want to charge crazy amounts for it. Like it's not about that. We just think that this should be in the hands of business owners because it just creates a better industry, man. Like it gives people a better chance at success and making an impact, and that'll raise the industry as a whole. So yeah, I mean it's wild. It's a wild 3 weeks, man. Like it's an intensive. So, you know, we test people. It's 100% pass mark for each assessment, like because business, that's what business will, you know, business doesn't allow you any of those cutting of the corners, right? So our next intake will probably be in about 2 months, but you know, as I said, I don't have time
until then, so that's great.
exactly right. So we believe that it's going to make a huge impact, and it already is on the people that have been through it. We've had, you know, roughly about 130 people go through, and you know, some of the results are pretty crazy. So it's fun for me, man. I love it. I love teaching it. It's a really cool concept.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll be the first one to tell you that, you know, a lot of shit experience could have been much better if I had a better defense in place when those things happened. I probably would have prevented them from happening. So I'll be the first one to tell everyone listening, it's hands down one of the best things you could do for your business, for your mental health, and for the longevity of your career. And, you know, some of these principles were even in, I gave a talk in Vancouver, Canada in 2018, and it was to a room of coaches, and it was about, I was trying to think of, you know, I got asked to do the talk, and I was trying to think of a topic that I really wanted to hit on. And I basically turned it into a talk and a discussion about what I'm doing to create a long lasting career in the fitness space and the principles I'm trying to instill and the principles I'm trying to live through and set forth, to create that. And there were definitely some of these in there. And again, but to say them and to live through them and to truly understand them are all different things. So, I'm excited. And I love the timeline because I don't have time. 2 months is about when my life opens back up a little bit. So, I'm stoked for that, man. But yeah, thanks so much. And where do people find that, if they're interested?
So, you can head on over to elitevitalitymastery.com. .net. .net. So elitevitalitymastery.net. On our homepage, there'll be a little tab there that you'll see that you can click through and start to register for intake number 4. So, just head on over, click through, have a read, man. We've got some kind of previous experiences from some of the people that have been through there. And I mean, if anyone has any questions, you can just reach out to me either via email, which again is on the website, or just, you know, hit me up on Instagram, which is Kyle R. Trainer as well. So if you just want to have a chat about it, I'm an open book. So, and happy to give any advice at any point in time.
Awesome. Yeah. And everyone listening, that all that stuff is, as always, in the show notes, and I'll be sure to include all that stuff. And it's .net, not .com.
Shoots me in the foot.
Yeah, I'll be sure to include that. So if you guys are interested, just scroll down or finger tap your way down if you're on your phone, and try to find one of those links and head over. But thanks again, Kyle. And I'm always stoked when we get to chat, but I was really pleased with this.
Yeah, man, super grateful. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Hey guys, Austin here. Thank you again for listening into the episode. It means a lot. If you can, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave the podcast a 5-star review. This does help us grow and be found by others. Also, just wanted to mention, if you guys are interested in free education based around training and nutrition, be sure to check out physiquedevelopment.com/free education, where you'll find free downloads, videos, articles, etc. No strings attached. Again, thank you. Chat soon.